Sally, talking about passing on, Sally had lived a good life and having been, but she had been, and she'd been married four times, and so now she stood before the pearly gates, and the angel at the gate said to her, I see that you, first of all, married a banker, then you married an actor, next a pastor, and lastly, you married an undertaker. Why? This doesn't seem to make any kind of sense. And she said, oh, yes, it does. I married one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. Oh, it ain't got good. And so again, this here is a series in process because I'm not even sure how long it's going to last or where it's going. It's just that it just is burning inside of me, and it's crazy because even in school right now, they told me I didn't have to take any more theology courses, and they threw another one on me. And so I'm going through hopefully my last theology course, and then the rest will be some more psychology and counseling. And it has been talking a lot about communing with God and staying on target. And so, again, I just can't seem to shake this topic. So today I want y'all to listen. I want you to really remember what I told you. It's very easy to come to church and be distracted. You can come to church and hear the message and hear every word I said and don't know what I said. Because you're thinking about lunch. You're thinking about what happened yesterday. You're thinking about where you got to work tomorrow. Or you're wondering about the person sitting behind you, the person in front of you. You got your mind on so much stuff that you actually miss what God is trying to bring into your life today. I am here as His messenger. That's it. I am just like y'all. I'm one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. But we're here to hear from God. Look at somebody and say, we're here to hear from God. Amen. We know God's got this. Amen. I was riding down the road this morning, listening to another preacher all the way in Texas. And they got up, and it was so amazing because I just looked at this bracelet, my Bethany bracelet here, Team Bethany, and God's got this. I just looked at it on the steering wheel, and I said, Lord, I know you got this. And about that time, the preacher said, and remember, God's got this. So you know what? Guess what? God's got this. Amen. Get your Bibles out to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Stand for the reading of the word. Philippians chapter 3. We're gonna do something so amazing today, and that is we're going to let God be totally God, and we're going to listen for whatever He may be trying to plant in our life. Amen? Somebody say plant in our life. Amen. So, ready? Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. My brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, or I haven't made it already. Matter of fact, you're not going to make it until you actually take that last breath. And even then, let me tell you something. Listen, when you step over on the other side, you're going to be so amazed at what could have happened, what should have happened, and what did happen. Amen? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Y'all say forgetting. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Y'all say reaching forth. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are here with us. And God, I'm not here just to go through a service, God. I want the service to go through me. Help us, Lord, to realize today, Lord, that's our choice. We can either go through the service or the third service can go through us. It's our choice because you've already decided you want it to impact our lives, but it's up to us if we let it impact our lives or are we going to be distracted by all the other things that come into our heart and come into our life during this time. And Satan will provide plenty of that to keep the message from reaching your heart. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. In the church said, now look at somebody beside you. Look at somebody beside you. Don't sit down yet. On the way down, here's what you tell them. Listen. Look at somebody beside you and say, God loves you. He will be there for you. He will make a way for you. He will wipe away all your tears. He wants to be your best friend. Amen. Now sit down. There you go. You know, we're talking about keeping our focus. And again, you know, I really had no idea that this was going to be this way, but it has. And so, is it okay if I just be totally frank with you and get down very deep and get in everybody's business? Is that okay? Okay, is it all right just to get down in everybody's business? So somebody say, y'all, I got to have more than two say it. Okay, there, okay. So, Frank's up there. Okay. All right. So here you go. God is calling the church very loudly. Listen carefully. God is calling the church very loudly, but Satan's trying to keep us from hearing what God is saying. One more time. God is calling us very loudly, but Satan knows how to overshadow, and if you're not careful, drown out what God is saying. Just in case you haven't noticed, we're in a rebuild mode. I remember just a few years ago, this place was packed out. I can think about over time and time again, the place be packed out. Then we have a time where it's not. We have a time where it is. And we have a time where it's not. And a lot of times, all churches seem to have a revolving door, and we understand that because people move and people move in and move out, and children grow up and all kinds of stuff like that. That's the nature of church. But I'm here to tell you right now, something special is going on in this rebuild mode. This is different than anyone we've ever been in. You say, see, watch this now. When you're in a rebuild mode, look around you. Do you see it full in here? Is it full? Not with this eye, but can you look at it with this eye and see it full? Wow. There's a difference. Now, watch this now. Watch carefully. Some of our lives are in rebuild mode. Some of us are going through transition and going through things and don't quite understand. And we see this and it just drives us crazy. So when you're going through the church, you're going through rebuild mode. When you're going through a personal rebuild mode, you can let it depress you or you can let it drive you. The choice is yours. It can depress you or it can drive you. Now let me just go a little further because I'm not even sure how far to go with it today, but I just want to talk to you. I'm trying to be, like I said, I'm getting in your business. My business too. All right? When you're in the rebuild mode, here's what's going on. God uses the rebuild mode to draw us out. You know, I sit back and I think about, I remember in here and I remember watching Brother Billy and Sister Dorothy and Brother Burton and Sister May and Bill Parker, and I remember seeing all these rocks that we had, and they lived so long, living up in their 90s. But I kept thinking there's going to come a day when the rocks are going to be gone. And there's going to come a day where the older ones are going to be not able to perform like they could and work, and the younger ones have to come up and take it. And I kept thinking about this thing and seeing this thing and watching it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't you think I already know how to handle that? Do you think that it's going to surprise me when one of these young men or older guys come to be with me? That I'm going to go, wow, I didn't expect you here. I got a day and a time appointed. So, as God allows us to go in rebuild mode in the church, and as God allows us to go in rebuild mode in our own personal lives, God, we blame the devil. Oh, it's the devil. Oh, it's the devil. The devil is, oh, the devil. Yeah, the devil, the devil, the devil. Well, sometimes he does get in the way. But when God is doing the rebuild mode, guess who's in control? God. Satan may have his hand on the trigger, but God's got his hand on the throttle. So watch this. What's he going to draw us out of? Watch this. Number one, God allows the rebuild mode to draw us out of complacency. Well, as long as these guys, as long as Brother Billy's here, as long as Brother Burton's here, as long as this person's here, as long as this is going on, as long as we got this happening, everything's going to be fine. And so we just sit back and just enjoy the view. Come on now. We sit back and say, well, as long as this is going on, everything's fine. And I can just come in, I can sit back and I can watch and I can enjoy and I know everything's taken care of and I know I just don't have to do a whole lot. I just kind of come in here and watch. So instead of being on fire for God, we're on pilot. And sometimes the pilot even gets blown out. And so God allows rebuild mode, number one, to draw us out of complacency. Number two, to draw us out of our own personal collapse. Very few of us, listen to me carefully, physically you may, but spiritually, very few of us explode. Do you know what happens when somebody burns out spiritually? They don't explode, they implode. There's a difference. I'm going to implode because I've got all this stuff going on inside of me, and it's strategically planted there by Satan, yes, and there's some there that God has allowed to happen, and he said, I want you to watch me and see this, and God says, well, you know what? They're getting ready to implode, so I'm going to start rebuild mode. Because rebuild mode, believe it or not, not only draws you out of complacency and draws you out of that place where you have collapsed on the inside. And the difference is, you know, you can take a building, you take a great big old tall building. Think about 9/11 and those towers. If those towers had fallen this way, there's no telling how much damage had been done more than it was already done. And some people even use that as some kind of conspiracy theory that we did it and we imploded the buildings. That's absolutely crazy. I saw the planes fly in the building. Didn't you? What it was God's hand, his mighty hand. He didn't take his hand. Look, Satan had his hand on the trigger, but God had his hand on the throttle. And so it was imploding versus exploding, going out. But here's the deal. A lot of lives that could have been lost were saved in the middle of that. But also, if you're sitting on a pew beside somebody that imploded, you really can't tell if they've exploded or not. They're just sitting there looking like they can smile, raise their hand. But on the inside, they've imploded because they got complacent. Because they didn't think they could do anything anyway. They didn't think their talent was needed. They didn't think they could be used. They didn't think they wanted to be used. Or I'm satisfied letting them do it. You know, all this stuff going on inside of us. So God allows the rebuild mode in church and in our lives to draw us out of complacency and to draw us out of internal collapse. But not only does he draw us out, God used, or draw us out, watch this now. God used it to draw something out of us. Watch this very carefully. Here we go again. I'm getting over this bronchitis very well, but every now and then it gets crazy. Especially when I'm preaching, that means that fire is coming out. Y'all can smile, do something. God wants to draw us out of complacency. God wants to draw us out of internal spiritual collapse. But God wants to draw out of us freshness. I'm no longer complacent. I can't depend on Brother Billy. I can't depend on Brother Burton. I can't depend on certain so-and-so, and I can't depend on whoever in my own personal life. There's things that I used to depend on I can't depend on anymore. And so it's not that God's trying to destroy us, but he's letting this rebuild mode come because he is trying to bring freshness in our life. Somebody say freshness. Now, because look, it's like the eagle. When the eagle starts building its nest, it builds it with great old big thorns. And then after thorns, it puts twigs. And then it puts, after the twigs, it puts feathers. And then it puts animal skins. And I want to talk about this later on, so I don't want to get into it too much. But when the eagle knows, the mama eagle knows it's time for the baby eagle to fly, to have that freshness, she starts taking one layer away at a time. And that eagle's trying to get right and trying to, the little baby eagle's trying to get, oh, that thorn kind of hurts. But we get settled in, and she goes, okay, you think the skin was bad, let's take away some feathers. And then the feathers taken away was bad, let me take away some sticks. Now you just sit on those thorns. You're going to realize that it's time to get some freshness in your life. So it's right now in our own life. We got so complacent, we expect everybody else to do it, somebody else to do it, anybody else to do it, but them. So God allows the rebuild mode. He's forcing us to freshness. Things that you know you can do, some things you don't even know that you can do, that's inside of you. God is wanting to bring it out. But the only way to bring it out was to take us out of complacency. The only way to bring out the freshness was to take out the spiritual collapse. So there's freshness. As long as there's freshness, he wants to further us. This church is so full of whatever we need. It doesn't matter. You can name it. Whatever we need, this church has got it. We just don't necessarily know where it's all at. So God allows the rebuild mode to draw out the freshness. And when the freshness comes, then we get furthered. The same way in your own life. God allows that rebuild mode. Because the rebuild mode is so vital for us to grow. Now watch this. I love this. Danger. Do not touch. Not only will this kill you, it will hurt the whole time you are dying. Wow. Remind me not to touch that. Woo. You see, when we're in the rebuild mode, it's a very dangerous time. The reason it's a very dangerous time is very simply is if you're not careful, we'll lose sight of what God's doing. We'll be thinking that he's pushing us down, not realizing he's not pushing us down, he's pushing us up. I had a lady come to me in our church in Williamston, and she said, God woke me up in the middle of the night and told me, started talking to me and telling me something to bring to you and to pray with you about and just to show it to you, and she wrote it down. I had no idea what was getting ready to happen in my life, that Beverly was going to die and that I was going to wind up at Fountain Power Boats and all this stuff was going to happen. Eventually, I wound up here at Edward through all of that. But what I was going to say is I had no idea all this stuff was going to happen, especially watching my wife die and all the horror that we went through before that happened. And so this lady comes to me and she says, Brother David, and I really trusted her. She was just, to me, was a spiritual giant. She said, can I pray with you? And I said, yes. And she said, God spoke to me and told me to tell you this. And I said, and I wrote it down. I said, well, let me see it. I kept it in my Bible for years. I'm not sure. It's in my Bible, one of my Bibles somewhere. I've got to find it again. But she said, God is very aware of what you're about to go through. And he wants you to know that he's going to, it's not going to take you down. He's going to push you through it. I never even heard anything like that. And so I took it and I said, okay, sister. And a little further down it says, and I will pull you. Wow, pushing and pulling? What in the world? What can this be? I had no idea that I'd be taking a sabbatical because my wife was sick. I had no idea that she was going to die at 38. You know, had no idea all the stuff that we were going to go through. But through it all, God remained true. And what I thought was totally pushing us down, if you trust God, yes, there's downs in it, but in the ultimate ultimate scheme of things, God was still pushing up. Some of y'all in here right now, you don't realize in your rebuild mode, you think God has forsaken you, God has forgotten you, God has just kicked you. He sees you crying and he's kicked you. He sees your fingers on the rim of the ladder and you think he's pulling your fingers off of the ladder so you can't climb it. No, that's not what he's doing. He's not pushing you down. He's pulling you up in the rebuild mode. So if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of what God's doing. If we're not careful, we'll lose focus of what we're doing. We'll get so discouraged in the rebuild mode that we give up before we even see victory. We get so discouraged when all this is coming down that we don't realize, hey, I don't need to be discouraged because now is the time of discovery. I get to find talent that I did not have. I get a chance to see things happen that I didn't even know could happen. I get a chance to watch God move in a way that he would not have moved if I hadn't been in the rebuild mode. Somebody say, thank God for the rebuild mode. Amen. So here it is. This is where we're going to come into today's message. I'm not sure how far we're going to go, but we're going to go a little ways anyway. We can't lose our focus. We just read this. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured or made it my own yet. But there's one thing I do. It is my one aspiration. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Focus. Follow one course until successful. There you go. Isn't that cool? Follow one course until successful. You see, when we start rebuilding, when we get our focus right, we'll find out this is fresh opportunity. We have fresh hope. We have a fresh start. Again, watch this. I'm getting ready to close. Getting ready. I didn't say I was. I got about 10 more to go. I'm just letting y'all know we're circling the airport now. We're getting ready to land. God desires us to engage and to give it our all in the rebuild mode. Our time, our talent, our treasure. If we give it our all during the rebuild mode, then guess what? It becomes a time of discovery because now we find things out that we had no idea was even available. We see things happen we didn't even think could happen. Because now we've moved beyond complacency. We've moved beyond discouragement. We're into discovery mode. And yes, there's still pain. And yes, it still hurts. But guess what? God is still moving. He hasn't stopped. Number two, Satan desires for us to disengage or at least give it very little. Come in with a lack of interest. You know why? Because if he's at that point, he'll come in and put a pillow under your head and keep you comfortable on the pew, as long as you're not getting anything out of church. Number three, one thing that it'll keep us or break us is our focus. How many got the Mighty Army this morning? It said the thing that's breaking you today is the thing that's making you. Wow. So here we go real quick, and we're going to get out of here. Rebuilding needs focus. So watch this. Our focus should be on God and his word because it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will not come back to him void. His ability, is there anything too hard for God? And on his mission, to seek and to save. Well, how many's ever done that? Do not raise your hand. What are they doing there? Yeah. I was in Walmart the other day, and there was this person right in front of me, walking right toward me, and they were texting right along, had no idea I was even coming. If I hadn't lifted my head from my phone to look, I'd have been hit by them. Distraction is any type of activity, or action or attitude that consumes you, your time, and your interest to the point that God becomes a blur. We're to stay focused. Get ready. DC, in just a second, we're getting ready to, this is it. Isn't this good stuff? Somebody say yes. Okay. All right, ready? Somebody read that out loud. Do it again. Wow. You see, watch this. Don't focus on your problems. Because if all you focus on is your problems, all you're going to do is feel that pain. And when you start feeling pain, you panic. So here you are, you're in a rebuild mode. God's doing something special. God's getting ready to elevate you, promote you, do something that only He can do. But all you can see is the problems, and you feel the pain, and you panic. One thing I learned about baseball, school ball, any kind of ball, when you're winning, nothing hurts. When you're losing, everything hurts. When you're winning baseball, man, we got the best referees and the best ump I've ever seen. When we're losing, that ump's got to be blind. What's his seeing odd dog's name? Am I telling it? But we're in rebuild mode. God is taking us out of our complacency. God is removing the implosion. God is doing that spiritual surgery. God is picking up and drawing out of us stuff that's inside of us that we should be using for Him, but we have been putting it away and putting it away and putting it away and we've even forgotten it's there. It's always fun for me to pick out a suit. I picked out a suit the other day and I put on the coat and I reached in the pocket and there was a dollar bill. I got excited about that dollar bill. I wish it had been a $100 bill, but a dollar bill was good. It's much better to reach in and find that I had a bill for a dollar and didn't pay it. God does things we're not even aware of. You know, Friday night, how many know there's a deli at the Piggly Wiggly on River Road in Washington? Well, they've just expanded, and so but I went in there Friday night. I didn't know what I wanted for supper, but they have chicken and pastry, which is Southern manna. If children of Israel had been in the South going through the wilderness, they'd have had chicken and pastry every day. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to go get some, whether I want it or not. I'll just take it and put it in the refrigerator, and I'll just heat it up later. I just want some chicken and pastry. So I get there, and as I'm walking out, I'm thinking, this is not why I'm here. I have no idea why I'm here, but it's not for this chicken and pastry. And so then I walk to the checkout line, and the young lady at checkout line, I said, how's it going? And she said, well, it has been better, and a tear went in her eye. And I said, and I know this young lady, and I said, can you talk to me? And just a month or so ago, she was so excited because she had found out she was pregnant. And she heard the baby's heartbeat. She would go in there. She was talking all about that. I went in Friday night and she said, I lost the baby. And she said, I just heard its heartbeat. We were so excited. And I looked at her and I said, you know, there's nothing I can say right now that's going to help at all, except for knowing this, that I know that God is in total control. That's it. I can't tell you. I have no way to express. I can't tell you now how you feel, because she knew we just lost Bethany. She said, I know you lost Bethany. I said, but these are two entirely different things. I said, I can't express to you, but I can say God's in control. And if you'll let me, I will help you. And so she gave me her number and her husband's number, and I've already been contacting them. But I said, that's why I was here. And so in my car, I charged the air conditioner, but during this heat, I realized I hadn't charged it enough. And so I didn't have time to go to Walmart, and so I I look at the Family Dollar store, and I said, well, you know what? I bet I can find Freon in there. And so I turn around thinking I'm going for Freon. I go in and see 20% off everything in the store. I said, lucky, blessed, hallelujah day. Then I realized the place is getting empty. And I walked around trying to find Freon. Excuse me, I didn't say lucky. I hate saying lucky because not lucky, blessed day, okay? And so I walk around, and as I walk around, I see one of the employees that had been there for years, and she had tears in her eyes, and I heard her say, I don't know how we're going to do it. They're closing this place down. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I said, okay, Lord, this is why I'm here, not for Freon. And so I looked at her and I said, she didn't know I'd heard that. And I said, can you tell me where your Freon's at? She says, well, come here, sir. Let me show you. If we have any, it's been moved, it'd be right over here. And I decided I'd open a conversation up. I said, why is everything 20% off? She said, they're closing the store. I said, are you doing something like doing in Aurora, having a Family Dollar and a Dollar Tree together? She said, no, we're having a nothing here. It's gone. And I saw her start to tear up, and I said, you know what? The Bible says, David said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've been all through life. I've been through it all, every stage. And one thing I have learned, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And tears started flowing. She said, thank you. I'm so glad you came in today. And she walked off. There weren't any Freon in that store. Again, chicken and pastry, Freon had nothing to do with it. That was just the bait God used to get me in there to minister to these people. Now, you can focus on your problems and let the pain explode in you, and then you panic. Or, watch this, you can focus on his promises. And when you focus on his promises, it gives you power. Both of those ladies, both of them were upset when I got to them. When I left, both of them had a little smile on their face because I tried to get them to not focus on the problem, but focus on the promise. In just the last couple of days, I've already been told I've got two funerals coming up. One, the guy hadn't died yet, but he called and said, I want David to do my funeral when I die. And so here's two more funerals coming up. And the other guy that we prayed for, at the cancer center, he died, and his funeral was Saturday, and I'm going to be helping with his funeral. And so I keep looking at things, and all I can tell these people that when they have these horrible deaths is remember this. I can't explain it. You can't explain it. But one thing you can hold on to, and that is God's still in control, and God still brings comfort. Find something, a promise of God, that fits in with your situation while you're in rebuild mode. And you stand on that promise. Don't panic. Don't look at the problems. Don't focus on the pain. Don't panic. Look at the promise. Hold on to the promise. As you hold on to the promise, it'll give you power. And when you start feeling some power, then you start feeling peace. We are in the rebuild mode. DC, come on up here. We are in the rebuild mode. We can look at the problems. We can think about the pain, and we can panic, or we can look at the promise. This is God's house. God says, I've never seen the righteous. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. David said it, but it was through God. Think about all the other things. Many afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. The biggest one I like to stand on right now in the rebuild mode is Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, we're in a rebuild mode. You may be in a rebuild mode in your life. Find a promise. Hold on to it. Let it give you power. As it gives you power, you'll start feeling peace in the middle of this storm. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. all the time, in all kinds of ways. Storms hit us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, but a storm drove you here, God's not trying to tear you down. God's trying to lift you up. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, or you're here and you've imploded, you feel useless, you feel washed up, you feel like God couldn't use you anymore. Either way, you're here, the storm drove you here and you're not saved, or the storm drove you and you feel useless because of your past and because of your present. That's far from the truth. God's not pushing you down. God's picking you and pushing you up. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, while nobody else is looking around, every eye closed, just raise that hand and say, I don't know him and I need to. Maybe you're here and you're in that position where you feel like you've gone too far, God can't use you, God doesn't even need you because of where you are. That can change in a moment. All you got to do is say, I rededicate my life, Lord. If you're here today and you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, but nobody's looking around, would you raise that hand and say, I need to rededicate myself to the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you didn't understand rebuild mode. You saw it as a bad thing. It's definitely dangerous, but it's not a bad thing. It's only dangerous if you try to take care of it yourself. I was talking to a guy the other day and he said, it's amazing, you know, totally amazing how boats displace water, you know, and some can be heavy, some can be light, but it displaces water and they can still float. And I told him, said, it's not the water on the outside that sinks the boat, it's the water on the inside. It's not the stuff around you that's going to destroy you, it's the stuff in you that's going to destroy you. And in rebuild mode, God wants to clean that up. God wants to get that out. God wants to take out that complacency, take out that implosion, bring out freshness in your life, watch you grow, watch you see and do things you had no idea you could even do. If I'm speaking to you right now, and you're in that rebuild mode, you finally realize what it is, and you just want God to help you keep the right focus and the right attitude in this rebuild mode and be used the way he wants you to be used. Can you just, with nobody looking around, can you put that hand up and say, that's me? I'm in rebuild. I'm in rebuild. I need God to help me to keep the proper focus, help me to keep the proper attitude, to help me to move forward, not backwards. To help me not blame God, but to help me hold on to God. Somebody just last night, I went to get some coffee and stuff at Walmart, and I went to go get the coffee, and I was trying to hurry up and get back out, and somebody stopped me, and I was talking to them, and I said, yeah, I'm trying to catch up. I got some stuff around the house I hadn't done, because last year I've been busy holding on to Bethany and doing with Bethany and taking her wherever she needed to be, and she was a 24/7 job, and the person said, yeah, that was a big load, and said, you've had a lot of setbacks. And then he kind of implied, was I angry at God? And I said, no, not by a long shot. I said, all this we went through, actually, believe it or not, I didn't understand it. It hurt. But I knew in the long run, God was going to come out of this thing on top, and so was Bethany, and so was us, her family. And I said, my faith isn't diminished. My faith was strengthened during these storms. You see, God got it in my system years ago when Beverly died. I'm not pushing you down. I'm bringing you up. I'm not trying to cut you off at the knees. I'm trying to bring you up to another level. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And for Bethany to say, God's got this, and either way I win, Dad, all the time. Y'all have heard it hundreds of times. She understood that too. I want everybody to say this with me. Everybody repeat this together. We're going to do something. We're just going to get a blanket going here. Ready? Lord, I need you to touch me, to strengthen me, to anoint me as I walk through the rebuild mode. I know this is not to tear me down, but to lift me up. Lord, I thank you that you care enough about us and our church and our homes not to leave us the way we are, but to draw out greatness out of us and freshness. I ask you right now, Lord, to help me understand something great is on the way. Discovery is in sight. Help me to hold on and believe and watch you work in my life. I thank you, God, for rebuild mode. I rededicate myself to you as we walk through rebuild mode. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, if anybody wants to come to the altar, you can. I'm not stopping anybody from coming to the altar, but I just like to get everybody to pray because I feel like then everybody gets a chance to reach out. I want everybody that will, put your hand up. Put both of them up. Put your antennas up. Repeat after me. Holy Spirit, I invite you to use me in your mission here on earth. And I know that mission includes every area of my life. I thank you for a fresh move in my life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.